Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, whom we join in the United States over the phone once again. Let's go for a whimsical walk in the Vatican museums to a museum within a museum, the Chiaramonte Museum, which I think is familiar to you.
Well, so, the wing there, yes, certainly.
Barring timelines, it's you, the guide to the place, and by a stretch of imagination, a Roman emperor. Who would you pick? Maybe I'll decide. Caligula.
You seem to like this Caligula guy. My favorite is Claudius, really.
I suppose he's so well-balanced, you know?
He was a nice guy, yeah. He was certainly not crazy, and they thought he was, and a nice guy for, 15 years. He was emperor and was all right.
Okay, okay, then you can take Claudius around. The lapidarium?
Yes. I've taken students there and I've gone down myself all alone just the treasures of all those stones, my oh my.
Where would you take Claudius then?
He was interested in other languages, in Phoenician and the Tuscany, the people who came in there.
Etruscans.
Etruscans, yes. And he wrote a grammar about all that. So I would take him to the very beginning there, some of the oldest inscriptions, the oldest Latin inscriptions. I think it goes like by centuries, the way they have it set up there.
Okay, can you say all that in Latin for me?
Oh, Perducam Claudium. Nescio ut monumenta prius antiquissima in speciat. Then he'd look at the monuments, which are the oldest, and then he would see like the beginnings of Latin and the development of Latin. He would be interested in that for sure. We have more than Claudius had, in the sense that we've discovered much more stuff than the Romans realized was below the ground.
What's your favorite statue there? Emperor Claudius, is he represented there?
Yeah, is Claudius, I don't know. Well, of course, Augustus, the glorious statue of Augustus there, and that's fantastic. This bronze statue and standing in all his majesty and his breastplate, and that's one of the best around the place. They always depict Claudius as kind of twisted over because he had like a withered leg.
He stuttered too, no?
Yes, he stuttered and they thought he was a fool. And that's why they made him emperor as a joke. They pulled him out of a closet after Caligula was stabbed in the basement up on the Palatine Hill. They went up to the palace there and they found Claudius behind a curtain or something. And they thought it was a joke, let's make him emperor. And he lasted for 13 years. But he kind of pulled his leg, like what did you say, they have like multiple sclerosis or something. And he stuttered and they thought he was an idiot, but he was very, very intelligent.
So anyway, what would you say to him in the lapidarium if you were walking along with him in Latin?
I would say, Respice sermonis nostri origines et radices. Look at the origins and the roots of our language. Ooh, and he would like that. And I would point out things. Look at how they spelt this in Roman things, the early Latin spelling and stuff. Ooh, he would like that, I know. Because he was... He was a thing there, and in the I, Claudius movie, you see him in the library, and two historians are there. Livy is there, and Asinius Pollio is there, and they say, oh, look at this man. Look at the Claudius studying books. So he was like a bookworm. Oh, he would love that.
How do you say bookworm in Latin?
A bookworm. The librorum amantissimus, most beloved of books.
That's cheating.
We didn't have bookworms. Well, they didn't understand worms and books. But I don't know if you say librorum vermis, a worm of books, but that doesn't make much sense in Latin.
Well, the reason I mentioned Caligula is that I was in that lapidarium the other day, and with a group of journalists, because the artists from all kinds of different backgrounds, came to see the Pope in the Sistine Chapel. And then they had a reception just off the Lapidarium on the wing there. And there was a sort of red carpet affair.
Stragulum tapetum rubrum. Evolvere, evolvere tapetum rubrum. Roll out the red carpet.
And the journalists were standing like hawks along this long hall, waiting to pounce on their praise, who were the artists who'd been to see the Pope.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Famous artists from all over the world.
Artists.
How'd you say they were standing? The journalists were standing like hawks, waiting to pounce on their praise.
Accipitri. Accipitri, tamquam accipitri ad stabant scriptores in vasuri in artifices. They were standing like hawks about to invade the artists. Oh, you can say something which is understandable.
Pounce on their praise.
Pounce on their praise in praedam, in silientes. Jumping on in silientes, in silientes, in praedam, on the booty.
And in this really happened, you know. And in this mediatic chaos, let's pretend that the Emperor Claudius catches sight of one of the beams of Caligula's boat, which actually is in this lapidarium hall.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And he sees that the journalists have plonked their gear on this beam. He'd be horrified, wouldn't he? Claudius would be horrified.
Yes. Like, who'd ever violating or wrecking a bit of history, you know, do that?
What would he say?
Like, you don't hang your hat on the Pietà. Suspendere pilium or galerum in pietatis simulacro. On the statue of the Pietà. You just don't do this.
And you don't plonk your camera on one of the beams of Caligula's boat.
Neque licet apparatum reponere in Caligulae in carinam. It was the bottom of the ship in the beam of the boat. Non licet imponere or inicere apparatum. Don't throw your apparatus on Caligula's beam.
Do you think Claudius or Caligula were more artists at heart? Caligula could have been a film director, no? Easily.
He's kind of a buffoon. I mean, the poor man. Scura magis erat quam artifex. He was a clown more than an artist. Caligula.
And Claudius.
But Claudius would have been maybe more serious.
I mean, did he have any artistic skills, Claudius?
I know artists, as we understand, artists, painting, Nero painted. And I don't know if Claudius was painting much. He was an architect. He was an architecture. The whole thing, the old aqueduct, Aqua Claudia. Magis studebat architecture quam picture. He was interested in magis studebat architecture quam picture. And the port of Rome was his idea. And they dug out where Fiumicino is. They dug out the whole thing. The whole harbor of Fiumicino is Claudius's work. So he was interested in that stuff. As far as painting, I don't know about that so much, but...
But the Roman emperors were more architects than artists, per se.
Yes. They would not have understood, like, all that fine painting. What you have in Pompeii and all that stuff, many of those things were under the influence of the Greeks. But the Romans, like the fine, delicate dance and painting stuff, they would have a little difficulty. I mean, ornamental... fine brass and bronze and what they did and so on. But it was, we would say, it wasn't that subtle. It wasn't that fine. The Romans weren't subtle. They were useful and they had their own talents. I could just give you the whole thing in Latin if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just My head is better than ever. After I died and revived twice, after two heart cardiac arrests, my head and memory are much better than before. And so I could just switch in if you want. Posum Latine Loqui, Lingua Latina Loqui, Vel Vernaculo Sermone, or in the vernacular. It doesn't make any difference to me.
Tell me about this talent that these Romans had in terms of architecture.
Studebant operam navabant rerum utilitati, the utility of things. Ergo, arti, well, sublimi, arti, vel philosophiae, et theologiae, et metaphysicae, non studebant. They weren't interested in that. Sed querebant rerum, odem dixi, utilitatem et munus, the function of things. Ergo, propendebant in res utiles, et non subtiles, in useful things and not subtle things. Non capiebant Romani subtilitatem rerum, sed etiam loquebantur de philosophia, sed philosophia morali, about moral philosophy, de officiis, about duties toward the fatherland and yourself and the family. Haec erat philosophia Romana. This was Roman philosophy, really, it was Stoicism. But they would never understand Aristotle or St. Thomas Aquinas. They would never. They just weren't on that level.
They weren't spiritual people.
In a certain sense, yeah, they weren't metaphysical. They weren't dreamy. They weren't philosophical. They just didn't understand it. They would say, well, what do I do next? Or what am I supposed to do? Go into the army or be a senator or give a speech. Yeah, that's how the Romans were, which is a very great trait. You know, so they were interested in that, and they would hear the Greek teachers coming in from Greece, and what happened, they threw off the Saxum Tarpeum on the Capitoline Hill because they didn't know what they were talking about. They were suspicious of Greek philosophers. They were suspicious. They just didn't understand this stuff.
They understood money better. No, they built a mint up there.
Well, they understood money and law and that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You talked about the Capitoline Hill. They built a mint up there, no?
Yes, certainly. In the temple of Moneta Juno, the goddess who was looking over the weights and measures. And that's where you get money from. Juno, vocabatur, Juno Moneta, quia de pondere argenti et auri et eris monebat. She used to give instructions about the weights of gold and silver. So she was called Juno Moneta, et id circo titulum preseferebat monete, the admonishing goddess. And that's where you get money from. No one knows that either, but anyway.
Our listeners really miss you.
Well, oh yeah, well, I miss them too. Recuperabo omnia officia intermissa. I will make up for my neglected duties. Don't worry, I've done papal documents here in bed and went through the Pope's encyclical here in bed, and so I haven't lost anything there. Well, we'll catch up with you and your listeners as soon as we can.
Heartfelt thanks there, as always, to our popular Latin lover, Carmelite, Father Reginald Foster, hoping he'll be joining us here in our studios in the new year. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.